I'm Marissa Norcross.
And I'm Dave Freund, and this is The Next Page. Marissa, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am terrific, and the morning that this comes out will be the day after Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope, I can't ask how your Christmas was because it hasn't happened yet, right? As we record this, we record a little bit ahead, but maybe we just want to make sure that we wish all of our listeners a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, Happy Holidays.
Mm-hmm.
It is the most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah, and we're quickly approaching 2020.
We are. It is right around the corner. You can I can almost taste the hors d'oeuvres that we'll have on New Year's Eve. There I go, thinking about food again. So when I sent you my post a couple weeks before Christmas, and the title was A Rising Star, what thoughts went through your head?
I thought, oh, Dave has gone full Christmas on us.
Here he goes. Dave has gone full Christmas. But it has nothing to do with Christmas. Mm-hmm. Although I do have a funny little story. So when I was at SelfLock, I don't know how many years ago this was. I was the plant manager at the time. And my dad writes poetry. And usually if he has something on his heart, the only way for him to kind of get it out is to write. And he wrote this really beautiful Christmas poem that talked about a star shining down upon the manger. And I decided that I was going to retype that and put it into our newsletter. But instead of writing manger, I wrote manager. And so...
Some star shining down upon the manager.
Upon the manager. And our engineer said, well, a little presumptuous, aren't you, Dave? Because I was the manager and but anyways, that's not what we're talking about here. One of those humorous moments, and quickly I could correct it and reprint them, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But this was really, how do we find a rising star? So we have the lowest unemployment in my lifetime, I believe. Certainly your lifetime.
Right, yep.
And since I'm, more than twice as old as you. Twice as old as you've been. Anyways, I got to be twice as old as you. But anyway, we won't go down that path right now. But really, this is incredible unemployment. And so what that means, which is a wonderful thing for every employee, every worker, everybody looking for a job. This is just a wonderful time, and we should be really thankful for that. But so that means it's even more important for us to find the right employee, for us to really look for where is that rising star. Who is that person that has the greatest potential that they can add? And I don't mean that, and I'm not talking about, some people have more ability than others. I'm just saying, how do we find that person that fits the best for us? And so I was listening to a podcast that was talking about, rising stars, and I remembered three things that Dave Ramsey said once. It was either in his Entree Leadership book or when he was the speaker at Live to Lead. He said, there's three things we need to look for in a person that's going to be a rising star. And these are the three. Are they hungry, humble, and smart? Now, what's interesting, if you look at that list, is nowhere does it talk about skill sets.
Mm-hmm.
These are just attitudes, characteristics, whatever you want to call it. So let's kind of unpack those one at a time. So hungry. So now I love to throw curveballs to you.
Okay.
So when I use the word hungry, what comes to mind?
Self-motivated.
Oh, self-motivated. Yeah. Okay, good. Good. What else?
I'd say hardworking.
Okay.
Driven.
Good.
One of those types of people who is happy to stay late if needed, or show up early, or just do what needs to be done.
Right. Right. I had a couple notes that I put into the post that went out this morning. They possess a beginner's mindset and love to seek opportunities to step outside their comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And try new things. Somebody who's hungry, they have this really, they display a true desire to learn, grow, and improve.
Mm-hmm.
And I love, if I think about the word hungry, even if we think about it in a physical thing, when we're hungry, the only thing that can satisfy our hunger is to eat. And think about, here I go with food again, right? This must just be like a curse or something.
It's almost dinner time.
It's almost dinner time. And so our Christmas Eve, which we haven't had yet, is going to be hors d'oeuvres. So we're going to do like New Year's Eve hors d'oeuvres, Christmas Eve. Anyways, sorry, I digress. I'm in the Christmas spirit still. But you're hungry. You have to eat. And unless you eat, the pain doesn't go away. Those hunger pangs are there until you eat. Now, again, if you've worked on a fast for X number of days, there is a point where the hunger pains go away. You can tell how rarely I've ever done that. But I just, my sense in this, the reason why I'm picking on this word is somebody who's really hungry in their profession, in their career, the only way for them to satisfy the hunger is to keep growing and learning. And I think that's why Dave picked hunger. Now the humble one, that's a little bit harder. You know, I remember once had a friend as we were growing up, he said, you know, the one thing about humility is, you know, you strive for it, but once you've got it, you lost it because you realize, oh, I'm humble. And then there's pride that falls in there again. But we love to see it in other people, but it's really hard to maintain in ourselves because this, you know, we like to think of ourselves very highly. But somebody that's humble is willing to admit when they're wrong. Mm-hmm. They look for people to help them see where they could improve. I'm thinking of, you know, the person that instead of, like, if we think about somebody going in for an employee development meeting or something and we need to give them some constructive criticism, there's nothing worse than just getting excuses. And I love the phrase that says, you know, you can go from failure to success, but you can't go from excuses to success. So somebody that's humble says, failure's my friend. I just need to learn from it. So what can I learn from it? And I would love to have the scenario where if you're the leader and the person comes in and says, can I talk with you? I need some help thinking through one of my failures. That's a humble person. Because we can really grow if we can get to that point where we say, yeah, I screwed up. Can you help me figure this one out? They really appreciate those who are willing to share opportunities for them to improve. They seek that out. Marissa, what do you think? Why do you think being humble is tough?
I think it's tough because you have to be really, you know, sometimes you have to be vulnerable to be humble. I think you have to be willing to put your ego aside, your pride aside. One example of when I think of humble, I think of like not expecting to be praised for things or not taking all the credit.
Very good.
Not looking for that too.
Yep.
And that can be hard to do.
Yeah.
I think it's just a very overlooked characteristic, maybe, that we don't that we don't think about so often because we live in a society that is very showy and we want to like display how talented we are or how great we're doing, and that gets in the way a lot.
Right You're absolutely right. I remember once hearing my dad say, you know, so much more in the world would get done if people wouldn't care who gets the credit for it. You know, and that's really true. It's just the other thing that I was thinking about, you know, this humble piece was I remember when I was working at Selflock things were really, money was tight when we moved into our new building. We had some really financial challenges. And I remember talking with the owner and, you know, so, well, we couldn't afford a janitorial service. So Dan and I just started cleaning, you know, somebody's got to do it. But the neat part was that to watch other people pick up on that, you know, and realize that nobody's too good to bend down and pick something up.
Right.
And I noticed that, like, even in our offices at Macne, I walked past, there was a poinsettia that hadn't been watered for far too long. And it's just the leaves were all over the place. And I thought, I wonder how many people walk by and think it's somebody else's job to pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that's part of this humility piece, is this person that is truly humble is a person that understands that their life is meant to be there to serve other people, and that in serving other people, you really can have an amazing life and feel wonderful because you've made a difference, you've added value. And it was just interesting watching, you know, all of a sudden, well, the leaves got picked up. That's a good thing. Sometimes I do those crazy little tests, like social experiments, like our listeners heard, how many times will people just let the door swing shut in front of you? And mm-hmm. It's like, okay, just check, you know, doing another social experiment.
Yeah.
One thing that humility is not, I don't want to use bad English, but it's going to be like a double negative. It's not admitting when you have a gift.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people think, well, I just, you know, I can't say that this is something I'm good at because that would mean I'm proud. No, it means you're a realist. You know, there's a self-awareness piece to a person that's humble. And those that are most self-aware would naturally be humble because we all realize how much we mess up as human mm-hmm. beings. So I think sometimes people need to be more careful to really lay into that. How do I make sure that I'm not allowing pride to get the best of me? Because it's a battle.
Mm-hmm.
It's a battle that all of us are going to face. The last one was smart. I think this one might be tougher to describe because I'm not talking about just a person's aptitude. And I don't think Dave Ramsey was either. I almost think that what Dave was talking about in this, Dave Ramsey was talking about this, is, you know, somebody who's teachable. Somebody who really has a great awareness of how they can leverage an aptitude or giftedness. Where do they fit in the best? Because I'm thinking about, if, you know, there's people that try to do things that aren't their gifts. They're just not good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Me editing things, editing writing. I'm sorry. I struggle with that. But somebody trying to be someone that they're not, they're just being stupid.
Right.
They're not being smart.
Right. I mean, I think it's not that he's saying intelligence.
Exactly.
I mean, I like how you said it. It's an awareness of how to leverage your giftedness or your aptitude to make the most of each opportunity.
Right.
And that can include some other skills like critical thinking or problem yes. solving.
Yep.
And just really behaving in a smart way.
Right.
For any given situation.
Exactly. I love how you said that, behaving in a smart way in any given situation. You know, I'll give you just some other things that, so I don't know if this, they're not just pet peeves of mine. So this is worth sharing. So someone who is smart knows how to read a room.
Mm-hmm.
They won't say inappropriate things.
Right.
They just kind of understand the dynamics when they get into a room. Someone who is smart will not show up late to a meeting. Unless, you know, there are times when clearly something happens and we can't get there. You know, someone who is smart understands, they understand the needs of people in the room, and they work as best they can to help serve those needs of somebody, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's the smart piece, where it's kind of hard to define, but you know it when you see it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes some of the smartest people might be those who are pretty young, and you'd say, well, how did they get so smart so quick? I think it's an awareness piece, a self-awareness, and as well as a social awareness.
Yeah. And it's really just taking what you're good at and using it in the situation. So if there's like a complex problem and no one can seem to figure it out, but you are a creative thinker, yep. leveraging that creative thought to think like, okay, what haven't we thought of yet? Or how could we, you know, use what we have to do what we need to do, which is a way to leverage your giftedness.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, I remember once somebody asking a question, so are leaders born? or are they developed? And the answer is yes. I mean, everybody's born. And so I think the same thing falls true to the rising star. Are they born? Absolutely. But I think to be that rising star, to be able to cultivate within yourself those three characteristics, anyone can do. And I think so if I think about the folks that become, what's the word I'm looking for? Placeholders in organizations, those that are adequate.
Mm-hmm.
They're just people that have chosen to not grow and develop. They don't want to be part of the greater good of the organization. It's their job is a job. They want to go to work, do the minimum, so they keep their job and go home. And I think they miss the opportunity of making their job something that adds tremendous fulfillment to their life. You know, when we talk about growth plans, as we did, and we'll touch on that again next week, that if you try to separate your work out from your life, your work just isn't going to be as inspiring. And if you forget about your life, your work won't be worth it in the end. So you have to kind of blend that together. And I think people that are hungry, humble, and smart understand how they can add a lot of vibrance or energy to work, and they're all in, and yet when they go home, they can go home feeling like they can be fully present at home as well, because mm-hmm. they've really got this wonderful balance going on, so to speak, in life. Question for you.
Mm-hmm.
How hard do you think it is to stay on a path of a rising star?
I don't think it's that hard to stay on the path. I think these are three characteristics that once they become who you are,
mm-hmm.
it's not something that is so challenging.
Very good.
In my opinion. I don't know if that's the answer you wanted. No, you're
right.
You're exactly
right. That's the answer I wanted.
You know, maybe staying humble, that might be the hardest thing to maintain.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're good at leveraging your giftedness, like that's something you will continue to use and therefore practice, and it just becomes who you are. And if you're hungry and motivated, that becomes who you are. It's more important to have that awareness. Like, okay, these are things that are important to me and are at the core of who I want to be. And the right. more you do them, the more repetition, it just becomes second nature.
Exactly. You hit the nail right on the head, you know, because, and I think it becomes second nature because it's part of your growth plan. It's mm-hmm. the realization, the way, and part of an effective growth plan is an assessment of where you are. And I think the awareness piece for the person that is really hungry, humble, and smart helps them realize that they need to stay humble.
Mm-hmm.
Because as soon as we think we've arrived, we're done. And I think that hunger and the smart piece make sure that humility stays where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
And they also realize that there's no way they would have gotten where they are without other people adding value to their life and making a difference and showing them things and taking them places and introducing them to people and introducing them to learnings. So I think that's how that humility piece stays in there. One of the other things that I remember hearing once is one of my mentors said, you know, you really can't get proud. You can't become proud because of your giftedness, because just by nature we call it a gift. It was something that was given to us. We didn't bring it to the table, so to speak. So why should we be proud of it? We just need to exercise that gift and really hone it to the best ability we can to make the most of that opportunity. So, you know, my hope was, as I wrote this, was for folks to realize, number one, if you're looking for people, look for the rising star. And they mm-hmm. may be hidden to some degree. They may only be a twinkle at this point, you know, but are they hungry? Are they humble? Are they smart? And when you find them, you can show them the path and give them the tools and teach them just about anything. And then for each one of us, I think this reflection piece, especially as we look at the end of the year and planning into 2020, you know, what do I need to do to build into my life, into my growth plan, so that I really stay hungry, humble, and smart, so that I can be the best version of me inside of work and outside of work? Anything you'd want to add to this?
I was just going to add to what you said about finding the rising star. I think oftentimes they're hiding right within our team already, and they might just need a little encouragement.
Right. Yeah, look for that seedling that just needs to be watered. Now I just messed up our metaphors again. You know, yeah. And you know what else? So now I'm going to give another metaphor going back to this rising star, thinking of a star. When it's the darkest out, the smallest light shines the brightest.
Mm-hmm.
So oftentimes, difficulties in an organization may reveal your rising stars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's who's coming, who's staying, like you said, staying late to get something done. You know, the one that's willing to look into something, learn something that nobody knows yet. Those, you know, somebody that just says, hey, I'll look into this for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's your rising star. That was an awesome point. Thank you for bringing that up. Anything else?
That's it.
All right. Well, we're going to end it a little bit early because it's the day after Christmas.
It's the holiday season.
We have to go return all the gifts that we got that we didn't really want. No.
Hopefully not.
All right. Hey, do you have any special plans for New Year's?
We typically do a very quiet New Year's Eve, and we stay in. But on New Year's Day, my older daughter and I have very special plans to go to a show.
Wow.
Yes.
That is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope it's going to be a wonderful opportunity
yes,
for you.
Yes, thank you.
One of those, and make sure you find a way to get a picture, right?
Yes, I know.
So we can
put it in the book.
The bucket list book.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So we're going to do something completely different this year. So our family is coming. Some of our family from Ohio is coming late, so they won't be here for Christmas, but they'll be here for New Year's. So we are actually, typically we would do something, you know, with our church family, so to speak, but we're doing it, we're going to do a sleepover.
Ooh.
For all of the cousins.
Wow.
And we're going to have like a movie night, so we're going to show them a movie.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to put like mattresses all over, the family room in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And then my grandkids call me Papa, so it's going to be like waffles and pancakes at pot with, they love the Papa waffles. So
aww, that's
sweet.
That's
breakfast after we've had our movie night.
I'm sure you'll be very rested.
Well, let's just say I better rest between now and then.
Yes.
So hope that everybody has a really wonderful New Year's, because the next episode will come out after that. So.
Mm-hmm.
With that, I'm Dave Freund.
I'm Marissa Norcross.
And this was The Next Page.